I just want to encourage your heart as God's people that we really stop and look at the world in which we live in. The world's in a mess. Doesn't mean we have to be. Amen. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you. Just want to encourage you in your Christian walk that you continue to hold up the banner of the cross. We live in some perilous times, and I venture to say, Jesus said that when the Son of Man returned to the earth, will he find faith upon the earth? And I don't know about you, I made up my mind I am going to be faithful till he calls me from labor to the other side. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? And you know, and they still asking this question almost 2,000 years later. But he asked the question, who do men say that I am? Some say that thou art Jeremiah. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art one of the prophets. But he said, but who do you say that I am? And old Peter, that's my boy, would say that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know he's talking about his people. Amen, Walls. And so therefore that makes me hell proof if I continue to do what God says. So God has made a way that man can be redeemed back to him. And the way that he made it possible was through his Son. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved mankind. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me, to know that the God of heaven looked down the cord of time and saw fit that Stan would need somebody to forgive him of his sins. And he sent his Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, church, to know that one day there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow. One day I'll be able to sing around the throne of God and we'll be able to worship him the way he requires. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 24. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 8 verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And church, and I'm learning, I'm free from the shackles of this world. Oh yeah, the world we live in will tie you up, tie you down, and then throw you away. But church, I just dropped by this morning to tell you that you're free. If you will just surrender your will to the will of the Father. See, because there's going to come a time that you're going to need him. Amen. And I'm reminded of what the psalmist says, seek the Lord while he's able to be found. Amen. And if you stop and you read some of those old prophets, God said there's going to come a time that you're going to seek me and you ain't even going to find me. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. You need to read about God, because God does not play. But church, I just stopped by this morning to remind you that we serve an awesome God. And because of who we serve, that ought to make us some awesome folk on this time side of life. Amen. Thank you. Y'all all right out there? How y'all doing? Lesson for this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. And round about verse number 8. Peter writes these words to the believer and reminding the believer that there's a certain characteristic about those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. He shows that there is something unique, something that is special about us. And the reason it is so unique and special is because we have really surrendered our lives and will to the Father. And verse number 8, Peter uses something here that is really interesting to me. He says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but one day." Verse number 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long. And I'm glad he's long, because he, you wouldn't put up with me 5 minutes sometime, would you? Amen, Walls. "He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, God doesn't want no one to be lost. He doesn't want his church to be lost. That's why he's long-suffering, and I believe that's why Jesus has not returned. He's waiting on us to get things right down here. He's waiting on you and I, as the body of Christ, to understand what he has left us in charge of. And he's left us in charge of something. Luke 19 and verse number 10, he's left us in charge to seek and save the lost. And he's also left us in charge of keeping ourselves unspotted from a spotted world. How do you do that? Is you got to stay in the Word of God, and then you got to let the Spirit of God guide and direct you every single day of your life. And when you let go and let the Lord guide and direct you, God will give you his Spirit, and that Spirit will guide you in such a way that the world will know who you are simply by the Spirit that you possess. Verse number 11, Peter said, verse number 10, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Oh, it's coming. And church, the question is when it comes, where is he going to find each and every one of us? And I made up my mind, I'm going to be found in him, like Paul said, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that come from Jesus Christ. And so Peter here says, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of people ought we to be? Title of the lesson is, what manner of people ought we to be? In this lesson text here, Peter brings to the believer words to encourage them, to motivate them, to move them to a higher plateau in their Christian walk, but also words to warn them that one day God is going to stop time. And in the process of him stopping time, where will you stand when he stops that time? And I don't know about you, that when he stops that time, it's going to be too late to try to get right. That's why the child of God has to stay ready 24/7. And the only way you stay ready 24/7 is you got to keep your head buried in the book. And I'm learning, the more you study, the more you meditate upon the Word of God, and the more you apply it to your everyday life, the stronger you become as a child of God. You become so strong that the Word of God becomes part of your everyday routine. Amen, Walls. Is the Word part of our everyday routine? Well, I guess not. I'm just raising a question. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse number 11, the psalmist says, "Thy word I have hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist understood the importance of the Word of God, and he hid the Word of God in his heart that he was able to recognize sin. When he was told that he offended God, he knew what to do. The Bible said he was set down in sackcloth and ashes. Psalms 119 and round about verse number 32. The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, thy ways and thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in thy path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not unto covetousness. See, David understood something about God. He understood that if he would put God first where he belonged in his life, no matter what transpired, God was always there for him. Church, that's a powerful message to you and I, that if God is first and foremost in our life, no matter what transpires, God has told us he'll take care of everything else. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. I'm learning that when you put him first and foremost in your life, you know what? He takes away the anxiety. Amen. How many of y'all anxious this morning? Well, I just stopped by to tell you this morning, put Jesus where he belongs in your life. He'll take away the anxiety in your life. See, when a man or a woman seeks the kingdom first, God takes care of everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through verse number 30. Verse 31 in that same text says, Jesus says, for sufficient is the day for the trouble therein. So why worry about tomorrow when you have no control over today? Amen. Yeah, amen. And I'm learning, church, it's one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and I'm even down to the seconds, because no one knows where they're going to be in the next few seconds, do you? You think you're going to be right here in Apple Valley listening to this preacher that won't shut up and sit down, but you know what? You can be sitting here and be gone. Amen, amen, Walls. Couple cook points. The message is yours. In this text, Paul, Peter here reminds the believer that since these elements are going to be burned up and since the world is going to be destroyed, Peter says, what manner of people ought we to be? See, that's why the child of God has to really understand what he or she has obeyed. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, we have obeyed the gospel of Christ, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we have obeyed this gospel, we need to understand that there are some things that we must do in order to show the world that he's alive and well and he can see him inside of us. That's why the Christian must, I'll say it again, the Christian must be the example to the world instead of the world the example to the Christian. Amen, Walls. Somewhere down the line, you and I got to start shining. Amen. You know, and I told you last week, maybe we need to change ours into some of these LED lights, because these old fluorescent bulbs is just dead. But somewhere down the line, as God's people, we must be the example and not the world being the example to us. We ought to be the most loving, amen, the most caring, amen, the most joyous, amen, the most motivated, the most forgiving. But what about it? Are we? Depends on the circumstances and situations. I hear you. Why shouldn't we be the example to the world and not the example of the world to us? Because Jesus says we are the example to the world. We are the salt. We are the light. We enhance folks. We preserve folks. We build folk up. But if the world is dictating to us, what good are we? Matthew chapter 5 and round about verse number 13. Jesus, in this sermon on the mount, as he talks to these disciples, he reminds them that they are very important to the world, and the world needs to see the example of Jesus Christ in us. But see, I'm learning this example has to start first and foremost in the home. Amen. I am almost 90% right in my house. Okay, 50. I tried. I threw it out there. But I'm trying to show an example, church. Just because I preach and teach and proclaim the gospel, I can be wrong. Amen. And I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. Because I want to make my calling and election sure. And so therefore, in the house, I try to be the example of what thus saith the Lord. Amen. When they want to hear it, amen, and when they don't want to hear it, when they don't want to do what thus saith the Lord, I'm the first one to tell them, and they say, keep your preaching to Sunday. Okay, no problem. but I must be the example in my household. I cannot tell those two little ones to read their Bible when they don't see me read my. Come on, y'all, work with me. I can't tell them that you need to come to church, pick up the songbook and sing when the older folks next to them ain't even opening their mouth. Amen, Walls. But I got to be the example. I have to be the epitome of what God requires of me. And if it starts in the home, then that's when you come in. Because when it comes right here, you're supposed to reinforce what they've been learning at the household. Am I right? Amen. You know, they see us fussing and fighting, guess what they gonna do? Fussing and fighting. But if they see us singing and praising God the way God requires, guess what happens? They will learn the same identical thing. If I can send them to school and expect the secular world to teach them how to behave themselves, I ought to be doing that first and foremost at the house. Amen. I'm the head of my house. And my wife allows me because she understands my headship is based upon my relationship to my Father. That's right. So she's willing to surrender her will, even though sometimes I'm wrong. Y'all don't have that? I'm sorry. It's in here. And I'm learning that when you follow this, God takes care of everything else. I don't know how it got there, but that didn't cost you nothing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor. Greg said something this morning in Bible class that troubles me. He said, we're lazy. What y'all think about that? Yeah, we are lazy. And we got all of the latest technology in the world. We're lazy when it comes to the word. All you have to do is press it on your phone, put your earphones on and go to sleep if nothing else. All quiet. I must be down the right street, but let me go on that part of the lesson. But he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, where shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Ye are the light. Do we show the world that Christ is alive in us? When you leave here, what light do the world really see in you? Does it see the world or does it see Christ? And see, and you can answer this. I don't have to, but you know, don't think I can read your mind, but like I told you, I'm a fruit inspector and I'm pretty good. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot. If you're the light, you can't hide yourself in the world. We're supposed to make the difference. Do the Christian need to make the difference today?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, when are we gonna do it?
Today.
I like you even better, yesterday. But church, somewhere down the line, in this Christian walk, we have to really stop and ask ourselves a question. Am I really what God wants, or am I just going through the motions? You know, I know a lot of folk been married for a long time, and all they do is go through the motions. Huh? Y'all married to Christ. I got you, boy. Y'all just going through the motions. If Christ treated you like you treated your mate, ooh-wee, ain't enough divorce courts in the world, is it? But church, somewhere down the line, Jesus says, ye are the salt, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp, a candle, and put it under a bushel, but it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. And then in verse 16, the example the world needs to see is the light of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. They'll see it by the love we show one another. They'll see it by the attitude that we have when it comes time to help someone else. They'll see it if we are the true light. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good work. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Point number one, we must be true to what we have obeyed. Jesus said, Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, he says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Matthew chapter 7 And round about verse number 21, Jesus said, in that day, many will say, Lord, did we not in thy name cast out devils, prophesied in thy name, did all of these wonderful works? And Jesus said, I'm going to confess unto you, I don't even know you. Why? You workers of iniquity. See, we must be true to what we have obeyed. And I'm learning to be true to the Christian call, is you got to understand something. You were once lost. Amen. And I hope you still ain't lost, but you were once lost, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But because of God, who is rich in mercy, saw fit to send his son in Christ, and in Christ, he's given us this brand new outlook on life. And see, we allow the world to tell us what an outlook on life will give us, a brand new one. Just a dollar a day, what a difference a buck will make. And the world tells us that, and guess what? We bought into it. That's right. And has it made a difference yet? Okay. But we must be the example. And the only way we can be true examples to what we have obeyed is we got to first and foremost understand who we are. We're just not anybody. We've obeyed from the heart the gospel and been added to the body of Christ. And because of being in Christ Jesus, we're free. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 8. And round about verse number 1, Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, when you let go and let the Spirit of God guide and direct you, you shine as the light. When you let go and get out of the way, you'll be the salt that God really needs on this time side of life. When you walk by the Spirit, you will love an individual that is unlovable. Why? Because the Spirit of God is greater than anything on the face of the earth. And guess what? He gave it to you. That's what blows me away. He gave it to you and I. So is there anything that can stop us? No stand. Is there anything that can hinder us? No stand. What stops us stand? Us. What hinders us stand? Us. That's all right. I'll preach to me. We must live true to what we have obeyed. Paul says, those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He goes on to say in verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's just why the world got us so wrapped up and tied up, going every way but the right way, because we've allowed this world system to dictate to us who we are. I just stopped by this morning to tell you that it don't dictate to me. I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. Does that mean I do everything right? Nope. But I know how to get right. Amen. And the way you get right is by keeping your mind focused on the Word of God. Verse number 6 says, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if the so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Verse number 14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, we must be true to what we have obeyed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, bring this one. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of the Father. See, to be true to the Christian walk, our minds have to change. Amen. And then our minds must not only change, but our minds must focus on spiritual things. Colossians chapter 1, verse number, Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. See, true Christians must live up to being what they say they are. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we ought to be able to judge you by the things you say and do on your everyday life. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. See, the true Christian walk understands that there is something he must do every single day. He must present his body a living sacrifice, and he must live in such a way that it brings glory and honor to the Father. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Number two, second point, final point, we must be the example. That's right. I don't know about you. The world dictates a lot of things to us, but we must learn to dictate to the world that there is a better way, and that way is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul wrote a young gospel preacher these words to remind him and encourage him. Doesn't mean that he's perfect, but he strives to do what God requires of him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and love and spirit and faith and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy appearance might be to all. Verse 16, Paul says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so, you shall save yourself and them that hear you. Are we the true light, or have we just become another light bulb? Are we shining, or do we need some replacement parts? I want to encourage us and remind us that there's going to be a time that we're going to stand before God's judgment seat. And I don't know about you, all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. If you're here this morning, not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to stop and think about your soul's salvation. There's going to come a time when God is going to judge the world by his Son, Jesus Christ. There's going to come a time that he's going to judge you and I by the things we've done on this time side of life, and by whether or not we have kept his commandments. Members of the body of Christ want to encourage you, if you've fallen short of the glory of God, repent. Get on the right track. It's just that simple. If you're here, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing.